Hey, this is Morgan Pratt with the JMAC for Congress campaign. If you're listening to this podcast, sounds like you like JMAC. You can find out more about him by going to his Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or YouTube channel. Please remember to subscribe and rate us. Now coming up, more JMAC.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us today on the JMAC podcast. Well, I did it again. I spent just about every waking moment today watching the most wonderful time of the year. What am I talking about? Impeachment time. I watched the hearings, was watching to see if there was anything there that was going to change my mind or my opinion. And I have to tell you, it was actually really nice because There were four witnesses called. Three of them were witnesses who believe that impeachment should happen. These are all college academics. And then one witness who doesn't believe that this rises to the level of impeachment. His name is Jonathan Turley. You're going to hear from him during the show today because I found him saying so many of the things that I've been saying. And it's nice to know that I'm not crazy. So what I want to do is kind of break down for you what happened during the impeachment hearings and what stood out most to me. And again, send home the message, JMAC's not crazy. I am not crazy, okay? So what was happening was these witnesses were called to be impeachment experts. And the Democrats were trying to make several cases. And the first case that they tried to make is that you don't have to commit a specific crime in order to be impeached. And they asked all the witnesses about this. Now, what's interesting to me is this is basically an acknowledgement from the Democrats that the president did not specifically commit a crime. I mean, they spent hours asking about whether or not it's okay to impeach a president for something that is not a statutory crime. And the three witnesses said, no, you don't need a specific crime. The interesting thing to me is, first of all, the Constitution says that you can impeach when there is a conviction of bribery, high crimes, or misdemeanors. The word conviction is there. It is attached. That is pretty interesting to me. But I want you to listen to George Washington University Professor Jonathan Turley as he describes whether or not you need to have an actual crime committed for impeachment.
And it's obvious. It's not that you can't impeach on a non-crime. You can. In fact, non-crimes have been part of past impeachments. It's just that they've never gone up alone or primarily as the basis of impeachment. That's the problem here. If you prove a quid pro quo, that you might have an impeachable offense. But to go up only on a non-criminal case would be the first time in history. So why is that the case? The reason is that crimes have an established definition and case law. So there's a concrete, independent body of law that assures the public that this is not just political, that this is a president who did something they could not do. You can't say the president is above the law if you then say the crimes you accuse him of really don't have to be established.
So it's interesting. He's saying here that in all of the other impeachment proceedings of the past, never has there been a situation where no crimes were listed. There were situations where there were specific crimes that had been listed, but then there were other things that they added in that were impeachable. But he says in this case, for the first time in history, they won't be listing specific crimes. Think about that. Did the president commit a high crime and misdemeanor? The Democrats are saying we don't have to prove that. This Jonathan Turley is saying, you kind of need to have some statutory criminal activity involved here. And then he was asked point blank about whether or not he saw if any crimes were committed by this president.
Presented so far, is it your view that there's no credible evidence that any crime was committed by President Trump?
Yes, I've gone through all of the crimes mentioned. They do not meet any reasonable interpretation of those crimes, and I'm relying on express statements from the federal courts. I understand that the language in the statutes are often broad. That's not the controlling language. It's the language of the interpretation of federal courts. And I think that all of those decisions stand mightily in the way of these theories. And if you can't make out those crimes, then don't call it that crime. If it doesn't matter, then what's the point? Call it treason. Call it endangered species violations if none of this matters.
So again here, there were three other witnesses who believed that crimes were committed. So I'm focusing on what Mr. Turley is saying because he is echoing what I've been telling you this entire time. That for me, the standard of impeachment and that word conviction of bribery, high crime or misdemeanor should mean something. Now, Professor Turley does say that the president did something wrong. And I've said that from the very beginning, that this activity, this behavior on the part of the president was irregular and improper. But did it rise to the level of high crimes or misdemeanors? The Democrats and their witnesses are saying, we don't need to prove that a crime happened to impeach. All we have to do is show there was an abuse of power. Professor Turley and myself are saying, no, the standard needs to be pretty high. If it's not high and you don't assign it to criminal behavior that can be verified and proven, then you open it up to politics. And that's what's happening here. Because if you don't have the standard, and he said this, if you don't have court history and cases to compare the illegal activity to, then what are you left with? You're left with politics. And that's what we're trying to avoid here. The removal of a president for political reasons, as opposed to whether or not they actually committed a crime. So one of the other things that came up was whether or not the president committed obstruction of justice. So the first issue was, can we impeach him if he didn't commit a crime? Which is a very interesting question for Democrats to be asking. Think about that again. Can we impeach him if he didn't commit a crime? So the second issue that comes up is, did the president commit obstruction of justice? The Democrats say he did commit obstruction of justice because he denied us access to all of these people who have firsthand knowledge. He's claiming executive privilege. He's not handing over information. He's not handing over people. So this is obstruction of justice. Well, Jonathan Turley really made a powerful statement about whether or not this is obstruction of justice. And it really made me rethink the entire situation. Listen to what he said.
The obstruction issue is an example of this problem. And here's my concern. The theory being put forward is that President Trump obstructed Congress by not turning over material requested by the committee. Okay? And citations have been made to the third article of the Nixon impeachment. Now, first of all, I want to confess, I've been a critic of the third article of the Nixon impeachment my whole life. My hair catches on fire every time someone mentions the third article. Why? Because you would be replicating one of the worst articles written on impeachment. Here's the reason why. Peter Rodino's position as chairman of judiciary was that Congress alone decides what information may be given to it. Alone. His position was that the courts have no role in this. And so, by that theory, any refusal by a president based on executive privilege or immunities would be the basis of impeachment. That is essentially the theory that's being replicated today. President Trump has gone to Congress, to the courts. He's allowed to do that. We have three branches, not two. I happen to agree with some of your criticism about President Trump, including that earlier quote where my colleagues talked about his saying that there's this Article II, and he gives this overriding interpretation. I share that criticism. You're doing the same thing with Article I. You're saying Article I gives us complete authority that when we demand information from another branch, it must be turned over or we'll impeach you in record time. Now, making that worse is that you have such a short investigation. It's a perfect storm. You set an incredibly short period, demand a huge amount of information, and when the president goes to court, you then impeach him. Now, does that track with what you've heard about impeachment? Does that track with the rule of law that we talked about?
So this is a very powerful point that he's making here. Is it obstruction of justice for the president of the United States to go to the courts and say, I don't believe that my witnesses, that these witnesses have to testify? Professor Turley is saying, how can that be obstruction of justice when you are appealing to the other branch of government? Remember, he said we have three branches of government, not two. And how can you call it obstruction of justice when a president decides to appeal to the courts as to whether or not those witnesses should appear? This is a line of thinking that I had not thought of before, but it's very powerful. Does a president not have the right to appeal a subpoena from Congress to the courts? Of course he does. And this is one of the reasons why, and I'll talk about this in a minute, that I wish that the Democrats would pursue the issue in court, but they're not. And there's a reason they're not. And I'll share that with you in a minute. But listen again, as Professor Turley was asked and spoke more about this process and whether or not it is obstruction of justice to appeal to the courts.
If you impeach a president, if you make a high crime and misdemeanor out of going to the courts, it is an abuse of power. It's your abuse of power. You're doing precisely what you're criticizing the president for doing. We have a third branch that deals with conflicts of the other two branches. And what comes out of there and what you do with it is the very definition of legitimacy.
Boy, that is powerful. If you accuse the president of obstruction of justice because he's gone to the courts, then you are the ones who are abusing your power. Now, remember, I think that it's so important as we go through this process to not get caught up in who the players are, that this is Trump or the Democrats or the Republicans. The focus should be how we will treat future presidents, how abuse of power will be treated by future legislators, and how impeachment will be performed by future legislators. That's how we should be looking at this. And Professor Turley is saying, really, really, are you going to say that appealing to the courts is an abuse of power or an obstruction of justice? Really? That's what you're going to say? I was blown away by this point. Now, you also heard him talk about how quickly this process is going, how fast it's moving. And he talked about this over and over during his testimony, that it cannot be considered fair if it's the fastest impeachment proceeding in history. And right now, it is the fastest. But I shared with this with you in my last podcast as to why it is moving so fast. Why is it that the Democrats are not fighting to hear from these material witnesses in court? Why aren't they going through that process? This is important. It's important, again, as a country, so that we have clarity on executive privilege, so that we have clarity on whether or not Congress can subpoena a president or those who are working closest with him. Why aren't they fighting that battle in the courts? This is a question that Jake Tapper asked House Representative Eric Swalwell last week. Here's the question from Jake Tapper, and it was a great question.
Now, the Democrats and Speaker Pelosi in particular have said that you don't intend to take Bolton, Giuliani, Mulvaney to court to try to force them to testify because that will take too long. But impeachment is a very serious matter. It's only happened a handful of times in this nation's history. Is it not worth taking the time so that we hear from everyone? Is the desire for expediency here actually undermining the credibility of the case?
So, great question. Why aren't you seeking integrity and talking to these witnesses and going through and fighting this battle in the courts, because the president is willing to fight this battle in the courts. They're the ones who apparently are not. They want this process to be done now. What did Congressman Swalwell say? What was his answer? Here it is.
The desire for integrity at the ballot box is overwhelming and predominates over fights in the courts that could go beyond the upcoming election. The president himself invoked the upcoming election when he asked the Ukrainians to investigate a potential political opponent. So the clock starts to run. If we want the upcoming election to be pure and free from outside interference, we have to understand if the president violated his oath of office by inviting a foreign government to help him cheat an election. And so that's why we just can't wait for the president to delay us in the courts.
So why aren't we going through the legitimate process of fighting in the courts to hear from these material witnesses? Because we have an election coming. So because there is an election coming, we cannot have a fair process. That's what I hear. I want to know what you hear. Well, Professor Turley, he spoke to this issue as well. Listen to what he had to say.
Obstruction is a crime also with meaning. It has elements. It has controlling case authority. The record does not establish obstruction in this case. That is, what my esteemed colleague said was certainly true. If you accept all of their presumptions, it would be obstruction. But impeachments have to be based on proof, not presumptions. That's the problem when you move towards impeachment on this abbreviated schedule that has not been explained to me. Why you want to set the record for the fastest impeachment? Fast is not good for impeachment. Narrow, fast impeachments have failed. Just ask Johnson.
Fast is not good for impeachments. Why are we moving fast? Because we have an election coming. That's why we're moving fast. Why should we be moving slowly? Because we want the truth. And because we want to protect future presidents from things being politicized before an election. Because we want to make sure that there is integrity in the process. We want to make sure that there's something called due process. My friends, there were some really important moments today. The Democrats basically admitting that the president has not committed a specific crime. The pointing out that obstruction of justice, it cannot be considered obstruction of justice if you are going to the courts. And the question of why we're moving so fast. Now, many of you may be saying, Jay, there were three other witnesses who believe that this is impeachable. The reason I shared with you Professor Turley is for one reason, because he is echoing what I have been telling you. And I didn't hear anything from the other three witnesses that got me off of that. I feel that this is conjecture. It's presumption. They're not citing a specific crime. And I think that if you allow impeachment to go forward without citing a specific crime, that you are setting up every future president. And that is a terrible precedent to set. And if that happened in the past with impeachments, then we need to look at that and learn from those lessons. Again, I don't agree with the president, with what the president did here. I think that when people go to the polls, they need to recognize what the president did, his irregular and improper behavior. But we're talking about the removal of the figure, the highest office in the land here. And I believe our standards should be incredibly high. And I do not believe that the Democrats have risen to that standard. And this narrow and fast process, as the professor put it, should be frightening. It should be frightening how quickly they are moving. And we heard from the good congressman why they're moving fast. Because there's an election coming. Not because they're after the truth. Something to think about here. I thought today's testimony was very compelling for many different reasons. Let me know what you think. Put it down in the comments. I'm going to continue to watch the hearings, maybe so you don't have to. I'd like you to watch as much as you can and come to your own conclusions. Tomorrow's another day. We'll
see
what happens.
Thanks for listening to the JMAC podcast. If you'd like to donate to JMAC for Congress, you can go to jmacforutah.com. That's jmacforutah.com.